Welcome to The Word at First Pres. The sermon you're about to hear is not part of a regular sermon series. It stands on its own and can be instructive to our Christian faith in its own way, even though it's not linked to other sermons. I hope you enjoy.
Our first scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 141, verses 1 through 10. I call upon you, O Lord, come quickly to me. Give ear to my voice when I call to you. Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting of my hands as an evening sacrifice. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not turn my heart to any evil, to busy myself with wicked deeds in company with those who work iniquity. Do not let me eat of their delicacies. Let the righteous strike me. Let the faithful correct me. Never let the oil of the wicked anoint my head, for my prayer is continually against their wicked deeds. When they are given over to those who shall condemn them, then they shall learn that my words were pleasant, like a rock that one breaks apart and shatters on the land. So shall their bones be strewn at the mouth of Sheol. But my eyes are turned toward you, O God, my Lord. In you I seek refuge. Do not leave me defenseless. Keep me from the trap that they have laid for me, and from the snares of evildoers. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, while I alone escape. And we have another reading from 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verses 11 through 13. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wonderful works he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of his servant Israel, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our readings have to do with prayer. So let's listen to what Matthew 6:7 says about prayer. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. And then in James 5:13, we hear the following: Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are you any of you cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. So, do you pray? It's sort of a silly question, isn't it? You've come here to worship God. You've already prayed a few times. We're going to be praying again towards the end of the service. But just between you and me, sort of personal, do you pray? I mean, really, really pray. And if so, how's prayer working for you? To be honest, prayer, at least in my life, is not working so well. It needs an overhaul. You probably know that the simplest definition of prayer is what? Talking with God. It's not the same as meditation. It's not just thinking about God. It's not passive reflection in your rose garden. It's not strolling through the botanical gardens or staring at Lake Michigan when you're in Door County. Prayer, at least for me, is a direct, proactive communication of the human soul with the one who created the human soul. Simply enough, prayer is the relationship between you and me and God. I want to talk today about our side of prayer. And next time I'm here, in a few weeks, we're going to talk about God's side of prayer. But here's the one thing I'm totally convinced of, that you are not going to remember even tomorrow what I have to say about prayer. Because I don't even remember tomorrow what I said sometimes today. But this might help you a bit. I'm convinced that you are going to remember my grandfather Gran's Bailey No. 7 wood plane. Boy, it is a beauty. The number 7 was manufactured between 1869 and 1970. It's 22 inches long and it's pretty hefty. It weighs about 8 pounds. I was going to put it somewhere. I don't know, is this sacrilegious to put it there where you can see it? This one, I think, was manufactured in the early 1900s when my grandfather was living. I found it, or at least the rusted pieces of it, in a family toolbox that my sister lovingly dumped on me several years ago after our parents died. COVID and retirement gave me the opportunity to explore the box of rusty tool parts. This Bailey, I think, is a metaphor for our side of prayer. The plane is a tool. Prayer is a tool. The plane is more complicated than it appears. And prayer that works, I think, is more complicated. How many pieces do you think there are in that plane? Any guess? Well, I'll help you out. Somewhere between 20 and 25, more than you think. Prayer has multiple pieces as well, more than you think. How many pieces are there to one's prayer life? Well, that's a little more difficult to quantify, isn't it? But I bet most of you here learned the ACTS acrostic for prayer, right? A-C-T-S. This is a test of First Presbyterian's spiritual maturity. A stands for what? Adoration. C stands for what? Confession. T stands for what?
Thanksgiving.
S stands for what?
Supplication.
Supplication. What is supplication anyway? See, it gets a little more complicated, doesn't it? Supplication is getting ourselves into a humble mindset, accompanied by an earnest request, usually for help. You see, there's many parts to prayer. When we need help, well, when I need help, that's when I fire up a prayer, a flare prayer to God, and I shoot it up as quickly as we can. And what do we expect? Maybe even we demand a response to that request. So let's say you and I are having an MRI. Those are fun, right? You know, God, what do we pray? We slide into that tube, and the first thing we pray is, God, make this turn out negative. But think about it for a moment. You wouldn't be going into that tube if there also wasn't the possibility that it might not be negative, right? When we don't get the results that we want, we jump to conclusions. When I don't get the results that I want to pray, one thing I'll say is, well, must have been a poor prayer. Or maybe my prayer was like that of the Gentiles. It had so many words, God got confused. Or maybe I say God didn't receive my prayer, my text prayer. And God, I put in 5 exclamation points. Why didn't you get it? And when our prayers aren't answered the way we want, some people come to the conclusion that there is no God up there. We conclude that prayer doesn't work, and so we put prayer into a box to rust. Now, I'm a mediocre golfer. The Open's on right now, by the way. I hope you're not watching it while you're listening to me. You know, I bet you're so pleased that you made an effort to come to church and to worship God to learn about my golf game. But since we've already talked about confession, I'm a lousy golfer. Why do you think I'm a lousy golfer? I want you to be nice. So these are the Family Feud's top four answers as to why Steve Pierce is a lousy golfer. What do you think? What do you think? I don't practice enough. Ding.
Your swing.
My swing. Yeah, my mechanics. Ding.
Lazy.
What? I'm lazy. Ding. I don't take lessons. Ding, ding. I'm too egotistical for all the above. Ding, 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 ding. Well, come to think of it, my golf game mimics my prayer life. I don't do it enough. I only shoot a prayer when I have to, and then I hope and pray that it's a good one. I don't take lessons in my prayer life. I don't go deeper. I don't go deeper into my soul. I don't take my prayer life seriously enough. If it works like a golf shot, man, that was just luck. And I don't supplicate. You already know what that is. I don't humble myself because I want to call the shots. Even when I'm praying to the source of life, of all life, of all life's options, I want to call the shots. It took me quite a while to identify, collect, clean, and piece together this Bailey number 7. Each little piece, it turns out, is quite important. They all have to sort of fit together in order for it to work. I had to go online and downline a schematic drawing to understand how all the pieces fit together. When it comes to my prayer life, I feel like those disciples when they ask, Jesus, teach us to pray. Jesus, show us the schematic. Teach us the pieces that we can put together so we can pray like you to connect with Abba, your Father. Oh, in case you haven't remembered, the Bible presents a very informed schematic of the prayer parts and how we can put them together to work. Well, I run into people both within and outside of faith communities who don't take prayer seriously or have never felt that they have had a soul-to-soul intimate moment with God. Have you had a soul-to-soul intimate moment with God that you can testify to? These prayer seekers are like Olivia. Olivia is a character in the novel Driftless by David Rhodes. Olivia has a chronic illness that has kept her immobile her whole life to this point. Rhodes writes, "It wasn't that God didn't love Olivia. It was that Olivia had never put herself into a place where the myriad ways through which God communed favor could reach her. All her life, she had waited for God to seek her, to heal her body and give her new life. But waiting for God's knock on her door hadn't worked. So now she was going after grace. She would follow her theodicy wherever it led. For me, maybe for you, prayer is one way that we initiate the connection of our human soul with God, who is the creator of all human souls. Prayer is a tool to connect us to God. Oh, I forgot to tell you something about this Bailey number 9. You know what its primary purpose is? If you're a lumber person, a crafts person, its primary purpose is to true a piece of lumber. To true is to make it straight and to smooth it out. And most often when it was used on a piece of wood, the point of it was to join it to something else. That's what I think prayer is about. Prayer is designed to true us so that we can connect in a better, more perfect way with God. I did a little research on the Bailey number 7. Among expert woodworkers, there were only accolades and words of endearment. In fact, one of you this morning came up and looked at it and said, you know, I have one of those. Was that your grandfather's? Had a very deep appreciation for the quality of this tool. Several called it a tool for life. Isn't that what prayer is, a tool for life? But there were some interesting caveats online. One was, it's vulnerable to corrosion if not used regularly. So it is with prayer, right? Vulnerable to corrosion. For me, prayer is a tool of faith to be discovered, rediscovered, to examine, to polish the pieces, to put them together, to use them to true our lives so that we can connect more intimately with God. Prayer on our side is a discipline. It's a spiritual practice. We need to do it every single day. Does prayer work? I ponder that question a lot. By prayer working, do I mean I get the results that I want? Well, not often. In part because I pray for my desired outcomes. I pray for a reverse of cancer that a friend of mine is fighting. I pray for a failing marriage that I officiated at a couple years ago. Pray for more corporate sustainable action to preserve our environment. I pray for an end to mass murders. Okay. Is it wrong for me to pray for these things that I need, that I want, that I hope for? Am I bad at prayer if my friend's cancer doesn't go away? If the marriage falls apart? But when I pray, I've discovered something. I've discovered I'm more attentive. I'm more in touch with the people I care about. I'm more in touch with the causes I'm concerned about. I'm more in touch with God. Rob Bell says that we need to go inwardly deeper in order to go outwardly more authentically. Maybe that's what prayer is all about. Prayer trues my life with God, with others, and the world of which I am a part. And oftentimes it moves me to action in new and different ways. So maybe my prayers do work, some. So for you here, my friends here, and those who are watching, find and collect your prayer pieces. Clean off the rust. True your spiritual life. Be vulnerable and humbly connect your soul to the soul of God. Talk with God a lot. And when we meet again in a couple of weeks, I'm going to ask you, so get ready. I'm going to ask you how your prayer life is working. And I'll share with you how my prayer life is working. So for the next few weeks, let's pray together. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And if you want to learn more about First Presbyterian Church of Arlington Heights, please visit www.firstpresah.org for more information on service times, directions, and to learn more about the First Pres family of faith.